Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that we have to come before your throne. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for a brand new day that you have allowed us to see, a day that we have never seen before. Thank and praise you, Heavenly Father, for another day that we can rejoice in the God and the rock of our salvation. Thank you for your love, your kindness, and your tender mercies. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for life, health, and strength. Thank you, Lord God, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. Glory to God, to lay down his life for us and give us hope. And Lord God, because he laid down his life, we have a right to the tree of life on today. And for this, we give all of the praise to the Lamb which was slain before the foundations of the world. Lord God, as we come together, Lord, I pray that you bless us, Lord God. Let not this time spent be in vain. But Lord God, I pray that you bless every listener. Bless all who are in attendance. Lord God, I pray that you would open up our ears that we may hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. And Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, that all things be said and done to the glory, honor, and praise of our God. Lord, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would send a word that will heal, send a word that will deliver, send a word that will encourage, send a word, Lord God, that will cause someone to cry out, what must I do to be saved? Lord God, give us insight, Lord God, as to what you are speaking to us on today. And Lord God, you bless us, and we shall be blessed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we say amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. Today we will be found in the book of the prophet Hosea, chapter 5, verses 13, 15, and 18. That's the book of Hosea, chapter 5, verses 13, 15, and 18. And I will begin reading in your hearing. When Ephraim saw his sickness, and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian, and sent to King Jerob, yet could he not heal you, nor cure you of your wound. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction they will seek me early. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal, he hath smitten and he will bind us up. May God bless us through this, the reading of his already blessed word. And the message on today is come and let us return unto the Lord. Come and let us return unto the Lord. In light of current events, we find that the year 2020 shaped up to be a year like no other, and has clearly secured a place in history. It will be remembered as a time of fear and panic. It will be remembered as a critical moment in history that was marked by profound sadness. And even though we're nearing the end of 2021, we're still feeling the aftershocks as a reminder that the war is not over and we are still in a battle. This disease walked through the earth as an invisible enemy and destroyer, having no respect of persons. Your age did not matter, your status did not matter, your race or gender did not matter, and it did not matter if you were saved or unsaved. Some dared to question where was God in the midst of all of this. And even those who were afraid to question his authority could not help but wonder why. And you know something, sometimes the hardest things for us to understand are the things which God allows. In this instance, we must make room for the possibility that the Lord chose not to intervene, but to allow this disease to run its course. There is no doubt in my mind that prayers were going up from all four corners of the earth, yet it seemed that circumstances did not change. We must also make room for the possibility that it was by God's decree that a certain number of souls would be taken out of the earth as a result of this. Some of the saints were infected and they went down but got up. And we find that some saints, they went down, but to God be the glory, they crossed over to the other side and is present with the Lord according to his divine will. I would also have you know that our faith was not on trial. And this was not an occasion to boast in how much power you have or think you have. The only thing that stood between us and death was God's mercy. As the Lord said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. We are here right now by the mercies of the Lord and for no other reason. You are here because the Lord chose to keep you here, and since he allowed you to escape to tell, you better run like you never ran before and praise him like you never praised him before. Because this is the Lord's doing. Make no mistake about it. He left you here with purpose. As we look into the writings of the prophet Hosea, we find that the scope of his prophecy was to pronounce judgment upon a people that would not reform. In our lesson text, Ephraim and Judah is described as being sick and wounded. The record shows that God gave them ample time, an opportunity to reform, but they would not. The scripture says in Proverbs 16 and 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. The scripture also lets us know that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Now, based on our personal experiences with God, we know that he is fair. He will always give individuals and even on a broader scale nations an opportunity to change from a destructive pattern to a way that is acceptable in his sight. In Exodus 33 and 6, he declared himself as the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. He declared in Ezekiel chapter 33 and 11, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. 2 Peter 3 and 9 gives us to know that he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Think about how many times we messed up before we came to Christ. And even after we came to Christ, some of us had some struggle still and could not always live up to God's standard. But God extended the olive branch over and over again. And so this is a testament of his undying love for a people that was purchased with the blood of his beloved son. No matter how many times you mess up, the way back to God is through repentance. And as a father, he is always ready to forgive, to reconcile and restore fellowship with his children. 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. These scriptures are intended to encourage those who may have lost their way, that though you fall or mess up or fail to meet God's divine standard, amen, this is his way of letting us know that you are not a lost cause. And even if you sink to a low place, God is willing to lift you up and love you back to life. Amen. What a wonderful thing. So to that point, the generation of people in Hosea's time was not beyond help, but it's obvious that the health of the nation declined because they rejected the olive branch. It wasn't that God didn't try to reason with them, but they proved to be unreasonable. How could he heal them of their backslidings if they continued to turn a deaf ear? And so here's where we see in Scripture that a long-suffering God had reached his limit. The Lord made an executive decision to withdraw himself from a place where he was not wanted. And we find that this was not something that was uncommon. Did not the Lord withdraw his presence from the temple in the days of Ezekiel when idolatry was set up in the entire temple? And since the people would not remove the idols, the Lord chose to remove himself, and the glory of the Lord departed from it. In another instance, we find that the children of Israel had provoked him to jealousy with strange gods and abominations. And did he not say in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and 20, I will hide my face from them? Did he not say in the days of Noah, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is also flesh? And this gives us to know that the time of God's patience and forbearance towards sinners is sometimes long, but it's always limited. Yes, he is a God of mercy, but he also says in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and 35, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Did not Jesus say, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God? So it is never a good idea to keep provoking God, because when he reaches that place called enough, that is when he will deal with us or any person according to their foolishness. And contrary to what some people believe, God does get sick of man's mess. In Psalm 7 and 11, he declared, God judge the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. The Bible declares, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The theme of Hosea chapter 5 is the withdrawn face of God. We hear him say in Hosea chapter 5 and 6, they shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn his face from them. In Hosea chapter 5 and 15, he says, I will go and return to my place. They will acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. So in other words, amen, he decided that he's going to withdraw himself until the people acknowledged that they had offended him, until they begin to seek him again. And while they're in their affliction, he's letting them know that they will seek him early. Now, afflicting is one of the methods used by God as a means of getting the attention of those who turn away. When you are in persistent and constant distress, sometimes it will cause you to reevaluate your life and think about what went wrong. I don't know about you, but I've been there. David wrote in the book of Psalms, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. When God afflicts and then he turns away, it is by his design that you will go through some things. He will not allow you to prosper. You will become unfruitful. And he will put you in such a bind that nobody in or out of your immediate circle will be able to help you. In other words, the Lord knows that if he applies the right amount of pressure, it will convince you to do the right thing, which is to turn around and come right back to the one who put you in that bind. And when you come back, he is willing to set you at liberty, and you will be free to praise him. He will loose your joy. He will loose the blessings that were held up and restore everything that was taken away from you because of disobedience. And this is the kind of God that we serve. In our lesson text, it seemed that the children of God did not understand who they were dealing with. God withdrew himself, which means they had no defense. They were sick, they were wounded, and surrounded by enemies that were ready to wage war. But instead of going to the one who could end their troubles, the Bible says that they went to the Assyrian. And so in other words, they went to someone who could not heal them, who could not help them. And so by them going to them and soliciting help from Assyria, it was in vain and to no avail, because, you know, they could not find help in turning to, you know, another source. And as the Lord said in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and 6, see now that I, even I am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hands. There was a man of God who crossed my path some years ago. His name was Prophet Lee. And, you know, since then he's gone on to be with the Lord. And he would say, God knows how to break you down to the lowest common denominator. And you know, and that's true. You know, God knows how to put his people in check. And in doing so, it doesn't feel good. You know, but if he was not a father, then he would not chastise the ones that he loved. And so in this instance, Ephraim and Judah, they were brought to their last extremity. They were brought to a low place, and the Lord resolved that he would not come until they began to call upon him again. There were two things that God said they would have to do in order for things to change for the better. And that was first to acknowledge their offense, and second to seek his face. In essence, he let them know that this is what you need to do in order to help yourself. And if you do this first, then I will return to you. But by refusing to take those simple steps, the nation was left in disrepair. History teaches us that it does not matter how great or powerful a nation is, when God is no longer the foundation, that nation will slowly crumble. When God is no longer the foundation, light decreases and demonic activity will increase. When God is not the center, the social and economic structure will become unsettled, and everything that is believed to be immovable will fall apart. In this present day, we are witnessing the fall of many great nations because God is no longer the foundation. Iniquity has abounded in the earth, and the love of many has waxed cold. People are less concerned about aligning themselves with the will of God and more concerned with fulfilling the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. When we consider the effect that this calamity had on the entire world, this disease not only shocked the world, but it brought with it a crippling effect. Almost everything went into lockdown, and the hearts of our nation and, you know, the economy, you know, went into free fall. For years, the powers that be thought that the systems that had been set in place for years could not be broken. But God showed us in a day that systems can be broken, and the high and lifted up can be brought low. It was a moment in time that God seemingly hit the mute button and withdrew himself from the affairs of humanity. while we were in this tribulation, it was not so much that any of us could do anything except plead for mercy and to shelter in place. We were to govern ourselves according to the instructions given in Isaiah chapter 26 and 20, where the Lord said, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself as if it were for a little moment until this indignation be passed over." We find that some circumstances are created to get our attention. And during this time, the hearts of every man was on full display. The Lord proved us to see what was in our heart. It was an opportunity for us to examine ourselves, to see if we are who we say we are. It was an opportunity for God to tear some things down in order to rebuild them the right way. You know, and so sometimes it becomes necessary, you know, for him to root out and to pull down, to throw down and to destroy when he's not satisfied with what he presently sees. If nothing else, this experience should have pushed us closer to God. Relationships should have been rekindled. Prayer should have increased. And those who did not have the fear of the Lord then should have a deeper reverential fear now. In every trial we go through, there's always a lesson to be learned. I can't speak for you, but I've learned that without him, I can do nothing. I see the importance of setting your affections on things above and not on the things on the earth, because you can be here today and gone today. So what does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I place more value on eternal life than any worldly possession, because everything is going down but the word of God. It is now time to seek the Lord, because the end of all things is at hand. God has declared war against evil, and he is calling all nations to repent. But there are always people who are unwilling to reform. Even in their affliction, instead of acknowledging their offenses, they would rather look for help in all the wrong places, running to and fro trying to find a quick fix, while lives are steadily spiraling out of control. I don't know who this message is for on today, but the Lord would have you to know that he is willing to help you if you are willing to help yourself. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. The only remedy that will fix your situation is to acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of a Savior and to accept Jesus Christ as the cure. You might be broken, but guess what? You don't have to stay broken. The same God that has torn can heal. The same God that has afflicted can give you relief. If you turn back to God, he is willing to make you, you know, that individual that he desires you to be. He's willing to set your feet on solid ground. If you return back to God, he will make his face to shine upon you again. The only thing we should do at this present time is to seek God's face. Seek his face. Seek him. Continue to seek him. If you seek him, the scripture says you will find him. The only one thing that we should all love about the Lord is his willingness to give us a second chance. After the fall of Adam, when sin entered into the world and death by sin, the scripture says that death passed upon all men. But God, with his good self, when he saw the condition of humanity, he was not moved to destroy us, but he was moved to save us. In Genesis chapter 3:15, we find the first promise of a Redeemer that would come. And that Redeemer's name is Jesus, whom God sent to seek and to save that which is lost. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He did not come for the ones who think that they're so righteous. He didn't come for the ones that believe they're altogether lovely. Jesus said, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." People of God, they are no perfect people. And at some point, like sheep, we all went astray. But his love covered a multitude of our sins. And we find that he have not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. But God commended his love towards us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. In conclusion, every single one of us made some wrong turns in life. But God was not willing to throw any of us away. The beauty of salvation through Jesus Christ is that there is redemption for all. The Word of God lets us know in the book of Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." This message comes to encourage you to return to the Lord. Some of you may feel that you are so messed up that you cannot be fixed. But if you are willing to give Jesus a try, your situation will get better. If you're willing to give him a try, your situation will get better. Some of you say that you don't want to come to Jesus until you get yourself together. But I say, if it's been 10 years and you haven't gotten yourself together by now, it's time to let Jesus take the wheel. It's obvious that you have no sense of direction and your driving is terrible. But if you allow Jesus to take control, he will park you right in the center of his will. Healing cannot take place until you reach the point of turning. So in the words of the prophet Hosea, "Come and let us return unto the Lord." Amen. God bless you.